The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter, and most job boards overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes, which is not smart, but ZipRecruiter finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. Now that is smart. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Fantasy, you in the 06010.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. An historic day, if I may.
Historic. That seems excessive. I feel like you're exaggerating.
Wow. Okay, Mike. Someone doesn't appreciate Brocktober that much. We have the revenge game of all revenge games being played tonight in Houston, Texans, when the 4-3, the surging Texans with their unbelievable victories over not-so-great teams, host the Miami Dolphins, also 4-3.
With wins over unimpressive teams.
And then a couple of, like, absolute clobberings at the hands of the Patriots and the Lions and somebody else who I can't remember off the top. Maybe the Ravens? Who else do they lose to? Somebody else. But anyways, it's also the final day of Brocktober, because if you think about it, should Brock Osweiler remain? What?
Bengals. I was answering your question.
Okay. Yeah. Threw me off track there, Michael.
Should that's what I'm here for.
Brock Osweiler remain the starter for Miami? It will not be until November 4th that they play next. It is basically the final day of Brocktober, featuring arguably the
Bro-vember?
Two best. Bro-vember. Star Fania Bell is here today, as is Mike Clay, filling in for Matthew Berry. Thank you, Mike, for being with us.
I'm glad to be here. I'm messing it up already. I've, like, distracted you, like, four times. So
that's
I think I'm sitting in that seat.
You're doing exactly.
Matthew texted me. He said, just screw it all up. That's what he said.
We're right on track. And Stefania, welcome back after a wonderful night in Boston.
Thank you. Yes, Red Sox fans were happy by the outcome from last night. Or Northern California folks. Who might favor the Red Sox over the Dodgers. Mm-hmm.
Stefania, of course, from the Bay Area, loves the Giants. And did you hear Julian Edelman's recent comments about the Los Angeles Dodgers? Because he was, of course, asked about the World Series.
Well, I do think I recall him saying something that was maybe mildly inappropriate for families about the Dodgers.
Like, you know, basically, I hate the Dodgers.
Right, right.
To which Tom Brady, also a Bay Area, I was going to say kid, but he's a man because he's over 40, so he's a man. Tom Brady also hates the Dodgers, so it's
right.
easy
it's a
for
Bay
you to
Area, Right. And then my dad, you know, I was born in Boston.
That's right.
A lot of people may not know that.
People wonder where Stefania gets her greatness from.
And my sister-in-law flew out from L.A. because she's from Rhode Island, a lifelong Red Sox fan. And so, yes, we went to watch the game. And fun fact, one of my neighbors growing up, childhood, who married another neighbor who moved in when we were all in, like, junior high school, he happens to be the crew chief for the umpires for the World Series. So we got to see him at first base last night making a couple calls. So
cool.
A lot of fun.
If there is some sort of, like, major controversial call over the next up to five games, I am getting Stefania to get her friend on line one. Time now for the football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Matthew's little Cooper Kupp is officially doubtful. Well, according to his head coach, he's doubtful to play in week 8. But there are some positive signs in the situation, Stefania, for the Rams wide receiver.
Well, for one thing, he's not going on IR. You know, this is when the injury happened. The gamut range from, is this going to be something season-ending for him? It was certainly scary how it looked. But Sean McVay telling Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for us, amongst others, that he was doubtful to play in Week 8, even though there's not an official designation for him yet, but making progress. So keep your eye on little Cooper Kupp.
Matthew's little Cooper Kupp being doubtful. Mike opens the door to somebody catching passes, not named Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks. Last week, if you're feeling kind of frisky, you might have thrown Mr. Josh Reynolds into the lineup. This week, is there any Rams pass catcher that you would throw into the lineup besides the obvious candidates? Or are you like, you know something, let's just hope Cooper's back in the lineup by like week 9.
Yeah, I'm not too interested. I mean, we saw Josh Reynolds play 51 snaps in that game, and that was most on the entire team because they had a big lead and Jared Goff came out. He ended up leading the whole team in snaps, but he only ran 15 pass routes, so that's not of interest to me. I mean, if you're in a two tight end league, Maybe you want to use Gerald Everett, who saw an uptick in usage. He's an obviously a good athlete. Actually, the first player ever drafted by Sean McVay. So some incentive maybe to get him involved. But I would just say with those top guys, Robert Woods is moving to the slot, which we've seen, boost his targets the past 2 weeks. He set season high. So I think, you start the normal guys there pretty much the rest of the way you stay away.
I think the word underrated is used far too frequently in sports because we never talk about guys that are properly rated. Mm-hmm. But Robert Woods, my friend,
yes,
you are underrated. You are an excellent football player. Jack Doyle was a limited participant in Colts practice on Wednesday. For those who don't remember who Jack Doyle is, because it's been like 8 months since he's played.
He hasn't played in five games.
That's right. He is the Colts starting tight end, Western Kentucky product. I think may have played for Willie Taggart there. Willie Taggart now the Florida State coach, but whatever. No one cares about that. Jack Doyle, Western Kentucky product, had, 60 or 80 catches last year. One of those two round numbers.
He was one of the top
82
target.
Or something.
Yeah, target getters in that offense.
He's back practicing, Stefania.
He is.
What does
back,
it mean?
Well, it means that he has a shot to play. That Frank Reich not really ready to commit to it. You like to see players get – look, it's been 5 weeks. He has not even been a participant in practice until yesterday, so I think it's sort of logical to temper expectations, but we like to see the upward trends, and if he's doing more by Friday, at least enough to convince them that he's ready to go out there, then I think this was a situation where they had something where they didn't want him doing anything in practice until he was ready to go, and once that was cleared, I think his ramping back to activity is going to be fairly quick.
So here's the question is – it sounds like based off that, like if he does play, it would not be a full complement of snaps. So it's less about the volume for Jack Doyle this week, Mike, or I guess the outlook for Jack Doyle, more about what it means for Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
Because he takes away some snaps now.
No question. And I moved him down already, assuming that Doyle contributes in some way. Now, if I'm going to pick between the two, I'm still going to lean towards Ebron. But listen, Doyle could be a top five fantasy tight end going forward. So if you have trouble at that spot, pick him up. And I go back to weeks one and two. Jack Doyle played 131 snaps in those games. Ebron was at 49. Routes 75-34 in favor of Doyle. Targets 15-9. So Ebron will keep a role in some capacity, probably going to be busy near the goal line. But we've said this a million times. Teams have a very hard time supporting two fantasy relevant tight ends. And I think knocking down maybe Ebron's targets get cut in half. That's going to be crushing for his fantasy value. So I would be worried if he was my top guy.
Couple of thoughts here to sort of parlay or move that off of Mike is Jack Doyle available in about 75% of leagues. I wrote him on the waiver column this past week. He couldn't get any love. He still has not been added in nearly enough leagues at a very thin position. And we know it's difficult to roster two tight ends, but perhaps your quarterback's already had his bye, or perhaps, you know, you have good depth at running back and you can spare somebody at the end of your bench. Think long and hard about Jack Doyle and maybe try to trade Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I would say this. Mm-hmm. Just keep an eye on this. They play the Raiders this week, then they have a bye. Mm. So if you're getting Jack Doyle, you know, you may not really be able to use him much until week 10. I would also say this. He was a very, not only for Jacoby Brissett when Luck was out, but prior to that, a very trusted target for Andrew Luck, and he's also a great blocker. So I expect him to be on the field more. And when you didn't see that much connection between them, remember Andrew Luck was just coming off being out of football for 2 years. So I think what you saw in that first week and a little bit when he played was not necessarily a reflection of how good that connection can be for the second half of the year.
Colts and Raiders, this is kind of like a nerdy observation by me, but the Colts and the Raiders both have a tight end duo where you've got capable blockers in Jack Doyle and Lee Smith. Then you have agnostic blockers in Eric Ebron and Jared Cook, right?
They don't prefer to block.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They're more of the they're more
that's
of the pass
nice
catchers.
Way to put it. You know?
That's a nice way of putting it.
Last one here is Theo Riddick. He was at practice yesterday, Stefania, but these are getting goofy on us now. At practice, like visible to reporters during the media availability, but listed as a did not participate in practice.
Right.
For
so,
Theo Riddick.
Again, this is why, just to remind for people who don't know, the media gets to watch a certain window of practice. So a player can be present on the field. Sometimes they're doing side work if they're rehabbing, so they're doing something off to the side, but it is not a formal individual drill or part of a larger team drill. And those things tend to happen after the reporters have gone away, you know, so you don't know when you leave, did they do something after we left? And the answer in this case is no, he did not. Nothing that warranted a designation of participating in practice, according to the Lions.
Okay, so we'll see whether he plays on Sunday. It sounds like it still could be a long shot. They play the Seahawks, but Mike, Theo Riddick being on the fence seems to only open the door more and more to carry on Daniel's wayward son.
Yeah, I think it's Riddick is worth about 12 spots in our rankings, roughly, in my opinion. So, you know, if Riddick is out, I'm going to rank Johnson around 12th, 13th in that range. If he's in, it's going to be closer to 24th, 25th, because last week we saw a big uptick in his usage as a pass catcher, although they only threw it 22 times, so you didn't really see it, but he was out there more, and his target share was like 15, 20% in that range. If Riddick's out and they have to throw it more, which they probably will in this game, Riddick's going to benefit in a big way. Obviously, he's seeing a larger share of the carries in recent weeks. So, again, either fringe RB1 or if Riddick surprisingly plays, you knock him down to more fringe RB2 territory.
Drafted some nice young skill players in Detroit by Bob Quinn. I mean, Kerryon Johnson and Kenny Golladay could be legit stars for that offense for a long time.
No question. Big addition to the defense yesterday, too, as well. Not really fantasy relevant, but to some extent, because he's Damon Harrison is
Snacks.
A great run stuffer.
Snacks.
So that's notable.
So
you
good.
Take him out of the Giants rotation. That's good news for Adrian Peterson this week. It's going to have implications going forward.
Hey, I'll tell you what the fantasy implication. He might be the best defensive lineman in IDP leagues. He picks up like 80 tackles a season. He really does. Like, and I know there's sacks and other ways to contribute there, but he's one of the top IDP defensive linemen in the NFL.
So
now,
should his nickname be Sacks instead of Snacks?
No.
Well,
you're crazy. He came to ESPN and hung out with us on NFL Live for I think it was a day or two this past summer. And let me just say this. Like, if I had my choice of, like, running into a cement pole or running into Snacks Harrison, I think I'd run into a cement pole.
Wow.
He's a
yeah.
beast.
Wow.
I'd prefer not to run into either one of those things. Mm-hmm.
It's a hypothetical. You have to pick one.
Okay, fine. I will take running into a cement pole over Snacks Harrison.
That's fair.
Great nickname. All-time good nickname, Secret mm-hmm. Squirrel.
For what it's worth, I was texting with Mike Rothstein earlier today. No big deal.
NBD, yeah, whatever.
And he was saying that, like, based on what he's seen at practice today, he would say that Theo Riddick is very, very questionable, which, as a Lions fan that rosters Kerryon Johnson, not that I don't want Theo Riddick to play, but don't we all want, like, Theo to potentially have limited snaps so Kerryon can further prove why he needs to get 20 touches a game for the rest of the season?
I'm with you there. I want to see that.
And let's also say that it's much easier if he's just out.
Yes.
The Lions are never going to give you much during the week. They won't say a word about trending towards what, I mean, they're not.
I love
so
it.
Me too.
I hate it, but I love it. Yesterday after the trade had been reported and Snacks Harrison had tweeted about going to Detroit, Matt Patricia was asked about Damon Harrison, and all he said was, "We've talked to the Giants. That's as far as I'll go."
I love it.
But you know what is funny to me is they try and copy, but they really can't execute like the you know, there's no, the Belichickian way.
Well, if you noticed this morning, they announced the trade this morning on Twitter.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the Lions official account started retweeting all of these tweets from like 18 hours ago from like Golden Tate and like, you know, Darius Slay and Snacks Harrison. It's like, wait. You guys have acted like this. I love it.
Late.
I mean, I have no problem with it. Like, again, I know it's difficult for our media brethren, but I don't have an issue with the, you know what?
I do, but that's okay.
Yeah.
When it comes to the injury stuff, yeah.
Tell you guys something about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell tickets, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all of them commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple and intuitive with a clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio and sign up at focus.robinhood.com. That's focus.robinhood.com.
Game preview.
The Brock Bowl is tonight in Houston, Texas. The Texans host the Dolphins. Let's begin on the Houston side with our IBM Insight of the Week. Watson on Watson. What say you, Kyle Sapi?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson's our IBM Watson Insight of the Week. He has a 24.8% chance to boom this week and score over 22.6 points. But he also has a 22.9% chance to bust this week, which would mean under 13.4 points. What do you guys think? Over 22.6 or under 13.4, which is more likely for Watson tonight?
I think it's got to be the over
because I
always take my chances with Deshaun Watson. Despite my somewhat modest outlook for him yesterday on the podcast, he's up a little bit in my rankings from yesterday's discussion. But Mike, as he is wont to do, dropped a very interesting stat on us during the pre-show meeting about how Deshaun Watson should actually be the number one fantasy scoring quarterback based off opportunities?
Based on opportunity, yeah. We post OFP, opportunity adjusted fantasy points, every week.
I like how
on
Mike says we. As if like any of us have anything
well,
to do
Keith
with it.
Keith helps me. I do all the calculations and he copies and pastes on the site. So.
And I write, I write love hate every week. As in I retweet Matthew's column when it goes out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I basically
the team
write
effort.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a team effort. So shout out to our stats team, of course. Sig does a great job supplying that data, and I process it, calculate it, and spit out OFP. And again, it just tells you how many fantasy points the player should have based on their usage, right? Are they getting work near the goal line? How many targets are they seeing? How many pass attempts? For Watson, he runs the ball a lot, so that obviously boosts his expected total. But he's at 161 for the season, and his actual is 127. There's a big gap there, and you might say, well, maybe he's just not good or he's struggling. But if you study league history, and I did post an article on this in the offseason, you see that guys tend to regress to the mean, kind of get closer to that number. So going forward, we should expect Watson to bounce back. He's had a tough schedule so far. It should lighten up in the second half if you kind of look ahead to who they're going to play. And again, look at his usage. He's third at quarterback in snaps, 13th in pass attempts, 11th in yards, 9th in yards per attempt, 2nd in carries, and 5th in rushing yards, but again, only 11 touchdowns field. They're number one in the NFL in field goal attempts. They're just not scoring. They're settling for field goal attempts. If they can flip that switch going forward, Watson can deliver in a big way going forward. And by the way, despite all the troubling things I just said and how he's been kind of an underperformer in fantasy, he still has 4 straight top 10s in fantasy this season before these past 2 weeks. So he has delivered at times.
My only question that I have, Mike, and maybe I have to adjust my rankings before tonight's game based off this compelling argument, is this to Stefania. Over the past 2 weeks, he's rushed 9 times for 15 yards. He's also been dealing with a chest issue over the past couple of weeks. Do we think there's a possibility that Deshaun is more mindful of the perils of running? Do we think there's a possibility that his chest could actually impact the way that he is able to run? I'm asking questions out of naivety.
No, I hear you. And I don't think that it's bothering him now. Like I wouldn't see that as a limiting factor now. I think that was reasonable before. I think when it first happened, he was definitely struggling. And I think also struggling with this, knowing that he needed to avoid some of the big hits. That was very much a conversation. They were pretty open about that. You know, Bill O'Brien was talking about it. Deshaun was talking about it. And I think there's some of the lingering effects of that chest injury were problematic for him. And then he faced Jacksonville, and that, you know, that throws everything into the mix. And then, you know, he's had receivers who haven't been totally healthy all the time either. So if we don't know the nuances, but when they're not getting to where they need to be, and forget DeAndre Hopkins because he's sort of an outlier who, despite being on the injury report, you don't notice any drop off in his game. But Will Fuller wasn't totally himself. And then Kiki Kuti goes out with his hamstring injury again. So I think that has factored a little bit into how they haven't been able to practice altogether. I mean, that's got to be an issue. What's interesting to me this week is that every day was a walkthrough. So the Texans did not have one real practice before this. But what you also notice, Kiki Kuti ruled out. Nobody else even listed as questionable, which that has been a pattern before. So I do think even though it's a short week, you actually have the guys who are healthier, including Watson himself.
Okay, good to know. I feel like I might have to adjust my Deshaun Watson rank by the time this game kicks off tonight. Lamar Miller had a great game last week. Like, out of nowhere, Lamar Miller against an excellent, I get it, they have not been as great, but still an excellent Jacksonville defense last week, carves him up for over 100 rushing yards, scored in that game as well. Do we feel like Lamar Miller, who, let me rephrase this. I think the value, or the mitigating factors in Lamar Miller were a couple of things, right? Has not been for the past couple of years a dominant workhorse back. He's been a workhorse, but not a dominant workhorse. Was the offensive line that is so bad going to be an issue? 3, could somebody take over some more carries? We thought it would be potentially Deontay Foreman. It also could be Alfred Blue. Last week, that wasn't the case. Like, do we have reason to believe now that maybe this is like the Lamar Miller show tonight?
I do. I think that they've kind of recommitted to him, at least in the short term. Again, once Foreman comes back, maybe in a few weeks, that may change. But for now, You're right. 70% of the carries he's handled this season in that backfield. Only 9% of the targets. You'd like to see that be a little bit higher. And volume wins. I mean, you could struggle with efficiency. Sure. If you're getting major volume, you can produce. Now, I will say this. He was 12th at running back in fantasy points last week. It's his first weekly finish better than 23rd this season. So we don't want to get too carried away here. Also, I will say this in his defense. The Dolphins have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs this season. So I think you add all of this up and Miller's kind of an unexciting fringe RB2. You hope he falls into the end zone or maybe busts one long, you know, they dump it off to him when he puts up 25, 30 yards. I mean, you're kind of hoping for that because like you said, the O-line is not good. It's not,
and his yards per carry are low, you know, compared to the running backs. You have a, I'm not even going to continue. What is it?
Is Lamar Miller, Adrian Peterson, who doesn't run as ferociously?
I mean, in terms of usage, yes. It's right
the
in the money.
The way he's used, yes.
Yeah. Runs the way ball he's ton, actually does built. Does not catch it that much. Oh, they could
out of
be
a magic
dissimilar.
Polymer?
Sure,
no.
Yes. My point is that, like,
pure usage, yes.
You know, yeah, I was surprised to see like how it. High Adrian Peterson was ranked again this week, only because, like, he played phenomenal last week. And he had 9.7 fantasy points. Like, it's just really hard in Adrian Peterson's game to, you know, pass north of 20 fantasy points or even 15 because he's got to have to score a touchdown and run really well. Lamar Miller is kind of like that. All that being said, we have all got him ranked inside the top 20 this week because running back stink and he played well last week. DeAndre Hopkins, just a quick note. You're starting
him. He's good.
You're starting him?
Yeah.
He's really good.
I do think this is an interesting thing, though, about that, you know, he's had these tough matchups potentially. We talked about it. I'm curious your take, Mike, because you know you do this wide receiver cornerback matchup, and we talked about the potential for DeAndre Hopkins. You never said don't start him, but you said temper your expectations. But he's still, he's a guy. He becomes one of those guys who is essentially matchup proof,
no doubt. And when he's covered by Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye, you worry a little bit. Maybe in like a DFS cash game, you bring the ceiling down a little bit, but they're not afraid to target him. They still throw him the ball plenty. And I will say this about his matchup this week. He's probably going to draw the shadow from Xavien Howard in this one. But you can make a case Bobby McCain is their better corner, and he'll be on Will Fuller. So I'm not worried about that, even though he will be shadowed.
Okay, well, let's talk about Will Fuller then for a second. You just brought him up. He is ranked inside of all of our top 27. I'm at 26. You guys are at 27. So we're very similar here. A couple of down games for Will Fuller that he was a little bit banged up, Stefania. He seems to be fully healthy now, though.
He is. And, I mean, in the sense that he is not on the injury report coming into the game, they certainly have a healthier outlook for him this week than they have recently.
Cool. Mike, any disagreement there on Will Fuller?
No, I like him. Two top tens, obviously, to start the season. I think he made his debut in week two, but none better than 27th since, which is, you know, you mentioned we were around 27. He hasn't been better since then, since that point. But again, no Kiki QT. The target share should be big. He's seen 8+ targets in 3 out of 5 games, and they're going to have to use him heavily in this game. So yeah, I certainly like him.
Although stack in Will Fuller's favor. Now, we are seeing your questions on Twitter, and trust me, we want more of them. Keep giving us more and more and more at Fantasy Focus, at Field Yates, where I'll be filtering them through. Also, if you're in the live feed, and you can chat amongst yourselves, Daniel can prize some questions from there as well. We're going to take Twitter questions a little bit later on in the show. We're going to talk about the high-flying Brocktober Fins after a quick break.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
All right, guys, and now it is time for a quick reminder from the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
Hey, this is Robert Anthony, the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. And Daniel Dopp is my favorite member of the 06010 because of his majestic beard. Imagine, if you will, its hearty aroma of what I can only surmise is an intoxicating mixture of Dorito crumbs, manly musk, and the occasional spillage of Baja Blast Mountain Dew. Smells like a winner to me. Now, back to the show.
Like this.
Okay, that was so disturbing. Yeah. I don't know if that was intended for Halloween, like to be creepy and freaky or what, but that was like, that started going down a path. I was like, I'm getting very nervous about what's
sounded
coming.
Kind of sarcastic too. Like, I don't know if he really likes you. He doesn't like
you. Here's the thing. He sent me the original 5 like liners to be able to do, and then like over the course of the week, he's just sent like probably 2 or 3 more emails with like 2 or 3 more liners a piece just for us to be able to choose from. He's really excited about this. It does a great job, though, I got to say.
No, I love the
Yeah,
the
he
effort.
Does a great job, by the way, I must say.
He needs to narrate scary books for the
exactly, season. Exactly. That was where I was.
Seriously. Like, I swear to God, like, aroma I had, like, of nightmares of that guy, like, I'm emerging from, like, my closet when I was a kid, right? Like, that was impressive. Good job there to our ZipRecruiter fan of the week. Let's continue on with the Dolphins, who are also playing tonight. Dolphins at 4-3. Let's begin with Kenyon Drake, who's somewhat of a perplexing player to rank so far this season, right? Because, you know, he's been good the past couple of weeks. On low volume as a rusher, Mike, how many running backs with such low volume in terms of carries do we have ranked as high as we do with Drake? The answer is probably not many.
Yeah, I mean, we have to start, and this is going to continue to trend this way as teams pass more and use more 11, three wide sets out there. You know, passing down specialists like James White and now Kenyon Drake, and the list goes on Christian McCaffrey last year, are able to sustain RB2 numbers or better. That's what we've seen, and that has been the case for Drake so far this season. Believe it or not, he is PPR RB16 in fantasy points, which is kind of hard to believe. He feels like a disappointment. He has three top 12 weeks already. He's averaged 4.8 yards per carry in all three seasons, a very efficient, effective back. And again, you talk about his volume, 8.3 carries a game this season and 5.4 targets per game. That's a decent number to get, you know, into that 13 to 15 range, especially when a lot of that work comes as a pass catcher. 6+ targets in 3 straight games. I mean, no question in PPR, he's an RB2 right now.
Daniel, could you please do me a favor and either text Matthew or leave a voice, maybe on his beeper?
Sure.
I think Matthew might be the only person that still carries a beeper around. And tell him that he can certainly download today's episode, but do not listen to what Mike just had to say, because those were some pretty revealing stats about Kenyon Drake being actually not bad.
Like, he likes his, what's that guy's name? He hasn't made much noise. Is that
Rookie
Morris. He likes?
Kalen Bellagio Hotel,
Baelage or something. I don't know. I remember. I've just, you know, he's been so far gone off the depth chart for so long.
I
forgot his name.
Memory. So he's being funny here.
That was a joke. Yeah. I got it right away.
Matthew and I went back and forth all offseason on Bellage versus Drake. So
Kalen Bellage is the guy that when you look him up on ESPN.com, still have his college headshot up, and you're like, that guy's super off the radar.
He scored 8 touchdowns in a game one time.
Danny Amendola, though, because honestly, Stefania, you may not realize this, but the Dolphins called me to play wide receiver tonight. I mean, they are so thin right now.
No Kenny Stills.
Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills.
Albert Wilson's done for the year. Kenny Stills is out at least for this week with a groin injury. We saw them get really banged up. And Danny Amendola is a guy we used to talk about as being unhealthy all the time. You know, certainly an injury risk. The time you worry about Danny Amendola is when he has to account for more volume. That was always a risk when he was with the Patriots. When he had to take on more volume, you just wondered if he was going to be able to hold up. You know, he's a tough player. He is obviously very talented, but certainly he's been injured, and he's on the injury report. I mean, he has a shoulder issue that he was listed as limited. Now, the Dolphins had one practice week. The Texans only had walkthroughs. Dolphins had two walkthroughs, one kind of small practice on a Tuesday, but obviously Danny Amendola is going to play.
All right, that's good news there, Mike, and we've got a lot of questions today about Danny Amendola. He is, in theory, the number one wide receiver for this offense tonight.
No question, and he's been the past couple of weeks, 18 targets over his past two games. He's hit 59 and 84 yards receiving in those games, and he started slow, but he's really come along the past few weeks. Again, we talked about the injuries there. I think he has a pretty high floor in fantasy and PPR. I mean, I think I have him like a fringe top 40 guy. I think he should be in lineups, at least in the flex spot here in week number 8. By the way, Aaron Colvin is not going to play for Houston. That's another reason to like Amendola, as they're kind of trying to figure out what to do in the slot there. So Amendola, good matchup. He's seeing plenty of volume. They need to throw him the football. They don't really have a choice. So, yeah, I do
like
him.
What about Jakeem Grant?
Yeah, I like him more than
also
Parker.
On the injury report, by the way. Like, every single Dolphins player for fantasy is on the injury report.
Yeah, they're so banged up. And that part of that is right being the short week just, you know, the natural attrition of the
NFL
season.
But coming off
a
week where they had a bunch of guys who limped off the field.
Jakeem Grant is the super dart throw of the week, though, right? Because he's going to play a ton.
Right.
He's going to play a ton. And Jakeem Grant, if you haven't seen him, you know, it's hard for me to say that anybody is Tyreek Hill or Marquise Goodwin in terms of speed, but he's darn close.
He is super
he's
fast.
He's super close. Another one of those Texas Tech receivers who is just, you know, shoot him out of a cannon. He is a beast. He's tiny, He is Tariq Cohen, Tyreek Hill, Marquise Goodwin. That
Danny
caliber.
Danny Amendola isn't big either. Like, yes. These are both.
Well, compared
small,
to Jakeem Grady, right? Mikey, right? Yeah.
And you think about Albert Wilson. He's been so reliant on those long touchdowns so far. It was unsustainable, but you wonder, you know, what is something that can be troubling when guys break stats like Albert Wilson has so far is there something schematic here that Adam Gase is doing? Because obviously he's a brilliant offensive mind. And Jakeem Grant should step into that role in this game. So, you know, if you're maybe an underdog or you're looking for a dart throw, a guy that could explode for a 70-yard touchdown, he'll certainly be in position to do that. Can he do it? Obviously, it's a risk. He's a very boom-bust prospect, but he's a guy to look at if you need some help at receiver.
Let's go to Pigskin Pick'em for this game. Oof. Because there it's a 7.5-point spread.
Mm.
Texans are favored by 7.5. Now, before we make this pick, I want to go to the polls for a second. You know, I understand, like, our polls have been kind of hit or miss this year, and that's no fault of Kyle. It's just hard to get traction. Whoever asked the questions, us. It's hard to get traction in the polls. I think the Lebertard Show does such a good job that when we compare ourselves to how great of a job the Lebertard Show does, I feel it's significant. But let's scrap the past.
But yeah, we're going to try.
And look forward. Because I think there's a poll that actually I'm curious on your thoughts. And if we can, we're going to try to keep this up for about a week. Pigskin Pick'em has been inglorious so far this year. We have struggled mightily.
Against the spread.
I am in 49,000th place. Now, I don't know how many how people there are, but my rank is
looking at that.
Rank. My rank, I thought like rank would be like, you know, 17, maybe 112. No, mine says 49K.
Out of how many though?
For my own mind, I'm going to say out of 7 million. More realistically, it's probably like 50, a number 000? Smaller than that. Yeah, Stefania.
Look, no, nice. I'm worse than you. I'm so worse question, than you, but I just don't care.
My question to the masses, to put on the poll, do you guys prefer us using the spread or picking the game straight up? You know, picking them straight up means just who wins, Texans or Dolphins, or who wins, or do the, you know, can the Dolphins, or the spread incorporates, you know, can the Dolphins cover? You know, they might not win, but they might, or, you know, the Texans may win, but maybe by 2.5, by, not 2.5 points, but by 2 points. So what do you guys prefer? We want to know. Because I don't necessarily have an issue with picking the spreads. I just stink at it. And we all stink at it. Like I'm stinking and I'm at 49 and I am, 8 behind. Who is Bob Quinn for president?
Oh, that would be me.
Oh,
this guy here. This guy. Hello.
The Lions fan. Yes.
I'm in the top 8%.
Are you?
Yeah,
I am. I mean, you're just going to throw that out there.
Well, I'm just saying,
you're
you know.
Just dropping that.
I could have done some math here. I'm in the 63rd percentile.
Yeah. I'm 67, so I'm not too far ahead of you.
So out of 49,000. So we're at close to 150,000 people doing this is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So people have the option to weigh in on a poll on Twitter. Do you prefer us to incorporate the spread or just pick these games straight up? Go to @FantasyFocus to vote in that poll. So now we get to vote in this game. I'm taking the Dolphins to cover.
So am I. I have a 25-19 in favor of the Texans.
I love Mike's random points. What do you have, Stefania?
I know. And yet he's not doing that much better in Pigskin Pick'em.
Well, that's against the spread. So I'm very good at picking straight up.
Yeah, but don't you
Mike. Yeah, we're all real good at picking straight up.
Who won Pick'em last year?
If you have 25-19, then that difference is 6. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty easy to know whether you're going to beat the spread or not, right? If your points are accurate.
Yes.
But they're not. Okay, so
it's hard. The idea is
I just need to feel better about myself because I'm terrible Stefania, at this. But I enjoy picking against the
spread.
You're
like the people on Twitter that are bashing like going for two the other night, but it's just the logic here is not accurate. It's not good. We need to do a whole podcast on this.
Look, I only apply logic to medical things. I am going to take the Texans just to be different. Because I'm so far in the hole, what do I care if I
You're bashing my logic, and then you're just picking just to be
No,
different.
You want the real one? Because I'm going with the medical. Texans are healthier than the Dolphins, actually, this week. I like the Texans being at home. And, I think the Brocktober that you saw is done.
I'm with you there.
I agree with that. I think there's a big regression to the mean. It's a thing. I don't know if
that's
a thing
Who
that I do,
that?
But there's a big regression to the mean for Deshaun Watson. So I'm going to take the Texans.
I'm Googling that terminology right now.
Regression to the mean. We need a drop.
It always sounds like a negative thing, though. I know we got into this on Twitter.
Yes.
People have answered, so I don't need it. But it just sounds, when you say regression in the mean, it sounds like going backwards, and yet you're talking about an improvement for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I'm just gonna
leave regression in the mean and regression can be different. So correct. Regression could mean negative. Regression in the mean can go to the mean.
Understood. Sounds that way. Just saying.
All right, Stefania. After all that regression to the mean chatter, let's talk about 23andMe.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Have you heard about 23andMe?
You're going to tell me about it, I hope.
Did you know it's a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits? 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you are likely to be lactose intolerant, OFP, no, I'm kidding, and more. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fat in your diet and offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. Probably would not have liked any of the food I ate at the ballpark last night. The lactose intolerance report sheds insights into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products. Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 2323andme.com/FFF.
Stefania, when we did this 23andMe report, we also got this ancestry report.
Ooh, yes. Yes. What'd you learn?
She is 90.2% European.
This is 90.2.
Yeah, this is my wife Kayla. Kayla. Yeah. Most of that is Ashkenazi Jew. She's 75%.
Okay.
That also, she is 9.2% Western Asian and North African.
Ooh.
Which is something that she had no idea.
A little Morocco.
A little bit. She was very surprised. And then it breaks down, like, when you look at your ancestry timeline, it tells you how far back. How many generations ago was your most recent ancestor from that population? So Asian was 4 to 7 generations ago, and that's saying it was from 1870 to 1780, somewhere in that timeline is probably where that came from. Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's exactly like it. So, really cool to be able to see that breakdown when you go through and do it.
Very cool.
With a little graphic, I see.
And I learned something new about Daniel's wife today. 90.2%?
Yeah. Western European.
90.2%. Yep. Western European. All right. Mike Clay, I don't know your origins, but I do know that you do great job with the wide receiver cornerback matchup. So let's get to some positive ones this week. And again, it's all about feeling the love for Bob Quinn for president, Mr. Mm-hmm. Daniel Dopp, Kenny Galladay, and Marvin Jones face off against Trey Flowers and Shaq Griffin of the Seahawks. This is not the Legion of Boom anymore, Mike.
No, it is not. And you might be looking at them, their raw total so far, and say, okay, the Seahawks have allowed the 11th fewest fantasy points to receivers, so they're pretty good against receivers.
Yeah.
But that's a little misleading. If you look a little closer at their matchups, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Allen Robinson have all eclipsed 18 fantasy points against Seattle so far in this young season. But when they faced the Cowboys, Cardinals and Raiders, no receivers got anywhere close to 18 points. So it's kind of distorted the numbers a little bit. When good players have played them, they have delivered the goods. And that is the case this week with Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones on the perimeter against Trey Flowers and Shaq Griffin. They have struggled for sure out there, but they do have a good slot corner, Justin Coleman. So I'm not going to move the needle here too much on Golden Tate. If anything, maybe his targets are down a little bit because they can attack the perimeter in this one. So upgrade Jones and Galladay.
Golden Tate was limited, by the way, on Wednesday's practice, I believe, with an ankle injury, Stefania?
I'll have to check.
Some sort of small thing for Golden Tate. Does not sound serious, but putting on the radar now, and if it does become more serious, we'll find out about it today and talk about it during tomorrow's show. Same game, Mike, other side of the ball, I guess. Doug Baldwin, who played really well the last time we saw him and is coming off of a bye week, so should in theory be healthier.
Yes.
Tease Tabor.
Ankle for Golden Tate.
Yep.
Yes. Jamal Agnew, the returner and slot corner for Detroit, is on IR. He's done for the season. So they've been kind of scrambling to figure out what to do at cornerback. Tease Tabor, the second rounder last season, I believe Florida, right? He went to Florida. He's the new slot corner for this team. And he has really struggled since he's come into the NFL. So Doug Baldwin will take advantage of that matchup inside. And you might be wondering, well, why would they not put Darius Slay on Doug Baldwin? He is one of the premier shadow corners in the NFL. But you look back to way back in 2015, about midway through that season, he started to shadow, and he's been doing so ever since. Not one time, not one single game has he full-time shadowed a primary slot corner. Now, he's gone inside here and there. You might see him in there on a few snaps against Baldwin, but he's never done it. So don't expect it to change this week. I think he'll be on Tyler Lockett most of the time on the perimeter. So you're downgrading Lockett. You're upgrading Baldwin in this one.
Yeah, we see that a decent amount. There are players who shadow on the perimeter but do not move
almost
into the slot. It's pretty rare to find a guy like Patrick Peterson who is capable of doing both. I mean, we even saw, and not to throw salt in the wounds, a few weeks back when Richard Sherman asked to go into the slot for one play against Devontae Adams and then was quickly hustled back out to the perimeter.
And you're seeing more and more receivers used inside to get away from those perimeter. And look at Adam Thielen. I mean, you've seen Stephon Diggs at the tough matchups, and Thielen's take advantage in the slot because he's running routes against linebackers and safety sometimes.
Did you just segue to yourself, Mike?
I did.
Way to go. Let's go to the negative matchups for this week, which begin with Stephon Diggs. We just talked about how Adam Thielen, actually Mike just talked about it because he's a smart man. Adam Thielen shifted to the slot. Stephon Diggs shifted to the perimeter. Marshawn Lattimore plays in the perimeter. He's not that great. Has not been that great this year.
Okay.
I should say.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Sorry. Has not been as good so far this year as he was last year. That being said, what I meant to say is he's really good.
Yes.
He's really good as a player. He hasn't been quite as dominant, but still not a great matchup, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still tough because sometimes these matchups work out like you have the top corner on the team and they're going to cover, in this case, Stephon Diggs, and that's just going to open up targets for other guys. So even though Lattimore might be not a guy you're fully afraid of, you're just like, well, why go there when I can attack other, you know, weaker corners? So that may be the case here. It might knock Diggs down a little bit. Now, keep in mind, when these two faced off in the playoffs last year, you might recall Stephon Diggs had that long touchdown catch that made a lot of headlines. He was facing Ken Crawley throughout most of that game. He had 6 catches, 137 yards, and that touchdown on 10 targets. But it's going to be a little different in this one. You're going to see Adam Thielen more in the slot. He's been playing more inside this season. So I think Lattimore will be on Diggs more often on the perimeter. So again, I'm going to knock Diggs down a few spots. Like you said, Lattimore hasn't been lights out by any means, so I'm not going to erase him from my board by any means. But Thielen actually is a pretty good matchup in the slot against P.J. Williams. So I do like him a lot. Where are we going to move him in our rankings from 1 to 1, I guess, or 1B to 1A? Like, what do you do? I mean,
Adam Thielen, consensus number one wide receiver.
Yes.
Everybody had Thielen as number
one this week.
If you haven't heard, he the man. Last one here on the negative matchups, Mike, is Josh Gordon against Tre'Davious White. He has been, like, he's perhaps quietly one of the best, like, a quiet shutdown corner, is that possible?
No question. He is. I would put him top 5 on my list of corners in the NFL right now. And he kind of got overshadowed by Lattimore last season because the Saints were better, but White is probably the better corner. He's been terrific. He shadowed Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, Corey Davis, DeAndre Hopkins, and T.Y. Hilton already this season. 6 of those 6 guys in 7 games, and he has been outstanding. Now, this is interesting. We just talked about how, you know, some number one receivers are being moved to the slot, right, to avoid some of these corners and for, you know, wider route trees, if you will. Well, that's not been the case for Josh Gordon. You don't see this often. 92% of the time, he's been lined up on the outside. White doesn't shadow the slot, so sometimes when he's shadowing a guy like Allen or Diggs, when they go to the slot, he won't be on them. In this case, it's going to be these two guys over 90% of the time. And yeah, that worries me for Josh Gordon, especially because we know Tom Brady will go to his other receivers. He has other tools, James White, Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, whoever it is. So that does bother me for Gordon. I'm going to move him down a pretty decent margin. I still think he's a flex because we all know what his upside is, but I still have definite concerns. I would stay away for sure in DFS cash games.
Gut call only for me with Josh Gordon. It's a gut call one. That's what just one of those, like, I haven't moved him too far down in my ranks. He's played so much. Good things come to those who wait, and Josh Gordon's been patiently waiting to find the end zone of the game where he also has massive yardage totals. Mike, will you tell us about SimpliSafe?
I will.
Okay,
I will.
Thank you.
Here's why we're big fans of SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe is ready for anything that gets thrown at it. If a storm takes out your power, SimpliSafe is ready. An intruder cuts your phone line, SimpliSafe is ready. Say they destroy your keypad or siren, SimpliSafe will get you the help you need. And an intruder cutting your phone line or destroying your keypad or siren, I mean, Keith, you were just telling me you saw somebody outside your window doing things like this. He had a purple shirt, yellow pants, I think, had a long beard. Right, so you got the system, is that right?
That's why I got the system. I mean, I got to sit next to this guy every day. The last thing I need to do is worry about this guy breaking into my house.
Right.
I do have the system, seriously. And it is, we like it, and we got a basic plan. It was affordable and it was easy to set up.
There you go. I need to say no more, but I'm going to.
Testimonial right
yes,
there.
Yes, right at, from during the air. I need to say no more, but let's continue. Anyway, sure, maybe their triple safeguard protection feels like overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst case scenario, but that's what makes SimpliSafe's home security system so great. It is always ready. SimpliSafe could cost an arm and a leg, but it does not. Instead, they only charge you what's honest and fair. 24/7 professional security monitoring is just $14.99 a month. Unlike other home security companies, SimpliSafe never locks you into any long-term contracts. I like that. And there are never any hidden fees. Go to simplisafe.com/football to order your SimpliSafe system today. That's simplisafe.com/football to protect your home and family today. Simplisafe.com/football.
There you have it there. Good stuff by you, Mike. And Daniel is the forward-thinking type. It's why he is the best in the business. The undisputed best in the business. The very best in the business. And bye weeks are coming around the corner, Daniel, for a couple of our favorite teams in the NFL.
You bet they are.
The two fantasy-friendliest teams in the NFL, the Rams and the Chiefs. They have been that good on offense. They're both on a bye in week 12. Now, Bill Barnwell wrote a column yesterday that you can check out where basically the fantasy apocalypse could be upon us. And I think it was week 12 or week 13 because the Rams are so good and they're so far ahead of everybody else in the NFC, or at least could be, that they might have a choice to just say, you know something, Todd Gurley, you can rest for the next month to get ready for the playoffs. Now, they could certainly do so in their division, right? Like, that division does not look particularly competitive because of Jimmy Garoppolo's health. And maybe the Seahawks sort of cling to some life there. But the point is this. It's possible late in the season you're going to have to do some roster shuffling. So, the question is this. Are there some players in Week 12 or beyond, and let's focus on Week 12 when the Rams and Chiefs are on byes, where you do you think to yourself, Mike, like, all right, you know something? Those are some targets I'd have in mind for that week specifically.
I wrote down a couple quarterbacks here that have good matchups. I mean, if someone, you know, obviously Gotham Mahomes will be out of there. Jameis Winston gets the 49ers. Sorry, Stefania. Joe Flacco gets Oakland. Mitch Trubisky gets Detroit. Those are guys that jump out. I don't really like to dive into this too much further because, I mean, especially a running back, I mean, there might be 15 running back injuries between now and then.
Correct.
So that's going to shuffle so much. Who you're picking up on waivers right now should be, you know, there's some handcuffs, obviously, you can hold on to that. Rod Smith might be a starter that week for all we know. You know, knock on wood, hopefully nothing happens to Zeke. But,
right.
You know, that shuffles so much. So I don't want to get too ahead of stashing guys specifically for that week just yet. But, you know, a quarterback, I guess you could think about it. I don't usually like to hold two quarterbacks. It depends how your team's built, what your roster, you know, how many bench spots you have, things like that. But, you know, those are a couple quarterbacks anyway that stand out that week in those passing games.
So I think Mike's point is merely to not get too far ahead of yourself.
Right.
That being said, I can already tell you this, like next week's waiver wire column will open with the idea that like, don't necessarily wait until week 12 to make your week 12 bye week fill-ins. Replace, like, to make your bye week claims. Like, don't be afraid to look a week in advance because you're going to be competing with a lot of people in week 12 to replace Chiefs players and Rams players. Cause we're talking about realistically 10 guys, maybe more. I mean, kickers are going to be replaced. That's two. You've got a tight end in Kansas City. You've got two wide receivers in Kansas City, running back, a quarterback, three wide receivers in LA, the quarterback, running back. So 12 players are going to have to be replaced in week 12. So don't be afraid to look a little bit ahead if the opportunity presents itself.
By the way, just to touch on the Rams thing really quick before people are panicking and like, oh, I need to trade Todd Gurley. I'm not as worried about this, I think, as Bill is, who I'm going to hop on his pod later. Maybe we'll talk about this, but, you look at their,
throw that in there. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I got to promote that too. But their schedule upcoming is much tougher than it's been so far. They have the Packers this week, then the Saints, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Bears, both of those on the road, then back home to the Eagles. I mean, they might lose a few games. And by the way, they're still competing for the home field throughout the playoffs,
right? The
Saints
are so good that it could help.
So even two losses would be enough for them to play probably through week 16, maybe into week 17. So I'm not panicking if I'm rostering Rams right now.
Agreed on that. Daniel, what do you got?
And Mike, you mentioned Joe Flacco as just an option in week 12. Joe Flacco's like postseason schedule is so good. Taking on the Raiders and then at the Falcons, taking on Kansas City and then Tampa Bay at home. Like those four games, such a good matchup
right
for a guy that could be a great bye week fill-in for you.
I have them with the easiest fantasy schedule going forward.
The Ravens.
The Ravens, yes.
Second easiest schedule going forward?
No, the easiest fantasy schedule.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Fantasy, there you go. Good to know on the Baltimore Ravens right there. Time now to get to your Twitter questions. We've got so many.
Yeah, before you answer a Twitter question, I just want to point out, because, you know, the 49ers aren't getting much love, and understandably so. It's just been a disappointing season, whatever. But there's this tweet, and we so often hear about players who did, like, they don't want to necessarily associate themselves with fantasy because they, you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah,
have you seen this tweet?
Great. Phenomenal.
Because I want to just give a shout out to San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle, who has been one of the few fantasy bright spots and just bright spots, you know, in regular football for the 49ers. And Joe Fan, who reports on the 49ers, tweeted this out yesterday that George Kittle cares about your fantasy team because Kittle said he talked to Aaron Donald while his 10-yard touchdown was being reviewed last week. Donald says, man, you didn't get it in? Kittle, I had to get in because my fantasy coaches need me to get more points. We love George Kittle. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, he is
shout
thinking
out to
about
you,
this.
George
like,
Kittle.
You know,
shout out to you.
When he's you just, know that they're trying to do that for you.
Averaging 16.5 yards per catch, scoring a couple of touchdowns already this season. A bright spot for a 49ers offense that has dealt with so many injuries. Heck, Kittle himself has battled through, and that dude continues to produce.
To press, so. A nice start to our Twitter section.
All right, here we go. Let's do some Twitter questions, and let's begin with Keith asking them.
Okay. Brian Levesque wants to know, why does Stefania nearly always go sleeveless? Ticket to the gun show?
Wow.
That is a serious question, and after we saw that, it's like, you know what? She usually does go sleeveless. I didn't even think about that.
I don't have a really good answer for you. That's just the wardrobe.
Now she's going to be self-conscious.
I know. That's just the wardrobe. Wait, the gun show? That's
Stefania,
not my words.
Just start flexing.
That's not my words.
Yeah.
That's your. Those are your words. But maybe that's why I don't wear sleeves, because they're tight, you know, from the boxing, the muscle. Mm. What can
I say? You would just break through.
Break through them. Look. Who tweeted that?
Brian Levesque.
Brian, do you have a problem with sleeveless?
No, I think it's a compliment.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Compliment.
I mean, but he said why?
No.
As
this
if
is
I was trying to
massive
show
compliment
off.
Towards
this is my
Stefania keeping herself in great shape.
Like,
you know?
Won't see me in high neck stuff that much because I don't like stuff around my neck. So
you could just said that like this
California.
Shirt originally had sleeves.
Believe me.
You could have said the shirt originally had sleeves in it. Well,
like Daniel cuts off his t-shirts. Like they
oh,
buy
come
the
on now.
T-shirts.
Please, you stop it. Next question, Keith.
Oh, really?
Move on.
At W. Garner wants to know, he got offered James White for James Conner. Is that a good trade?
Ooh, really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
I'm going to lean Conner here.
You're going to lean Conner.
Yeah. Will. You know, we've been back and forth, and I've probably given some bad advice on what to do with Connor in the past month or so, but we're guessing at this point with Bell. We don't know. And I've had friends texting me, what should I do? Should I trade for Bell? I don't know. Like, I can answer so much. I can't answer this one because we don't know if he's coming back. You just have to decide, do you think he's coming back or not? We don't know.
So I think that I might lean James White for this reason. That for the rest of the season, I feel confident he's a top 15 player.
That's fair.
No matter what happens. Whereas with James Conner, I'm fearful of the idea that Le'Veon Bell shows up on Tuesday at 4:01 p.m. and for the rest of the season, James Conner moves to like a top 25 or maybe even 30 running back.
And that you just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so when Le'Veon Bell gets back into the mix, assuming he does, we're going to have all these questions. It's going to be a topic every week. What's going to happen? How much is Conner's use? And then Le'Veon Bell's got to get reintegrated, so Conner's usage might be high, and then it's going to... So you're going to be in flux every single week, whereas James White has pretty consistently been getting... As somebody who has James White on a couple of rosters, been pretty pleased with his production.
Pretty good player.
Can you answer this as an NFL insider? Bell, he has to come back, right? Is he to accrue the year?
He does have to come back at some point to accrue the year, but there's a lot of gray area there, so I don't want to be too specific about the exact date that he needs to
I put you
back.
On the spot there. I apologize.
No. Trust me. It's been asked umpteen times already, but no one has gotten a clear-cut answer on when exactly Le'Veon Bell needs to return. Daniel, what else? Or Keith, what else?
Brendan wants to know, this week, flexing Yeldon or Sterling Shepard?
I'm assuming this is PPR.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Yeldon. I think we're going to see a lot of Carlos Hyde on early downs, but we're still going to see a gigantic target share for TJ Yeldon. So, and again, we don't know exactly how much Hyde's going to play. It's going to be some involvement, but not as a receiver. So I will give a slight edge here to TJ Yeldon.
That sneeze was not to disagree with you. Thank you both very much. I agree. I think one more week of TJ Yeldon before his utility goes way, way down with Leonard Fournette possibly back in week 10, and Carlos Hyde probably being more and more involved. What else, Keith?
Macho Camacho wants to know, and I thought you might like that field.
Yeah,
Macho Camacho wants to know whether he should start Trubisky or Cousins.
Great matchup this week. Kirk Cousins, too good to pass up. Any of you would disagree?
Yep, I agree. No, he's my number two against the Saints.
That's going to be an error, like through the air game. Well, actually, I don't know. We'll see a lot from the Saints running backs.
We talked about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for Cousins.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about him Tuesday. So
Keith, got some more?
Yeah, BHP wants to know, given that Chris Berman opened for Mike on SportsCenter last week, when will Mike go full Hollywood, start and give out promo codes away on IG and commence his takeover ESPN?
Mike?
Listen, I need some sponsors. So, you know, I'm well known for carrying my bottle of Propel around. So maybe shout out to Propel. Wow. You know?
You're sitting next to the king of
yeah,
how to,
I, that's
know,
what I need. Maybe,
so
do I need
why
an
don't
agent?
You take a few tips from the guy
do
to
I need
your
an
right?
agent or something here? I need you know, somebody to hook me up.
Let's talk. Have your people call
all
my
right,
people.
All right, I'll do that.
Which is yeah, for a small fee.
I'll beat my agent. Text, I don't have.
Yeah. Text me. Yeah, I got you, Mike. Don't you worry.
Don't worry. Mike just said he was going on Bill Barnwell. Mike's learning how to like drop these little nuggets here and there.
Very savvy.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the Doug Kazarian podcast today. I'm going to be on Bill Barnwell. I mean, just, you know, just follow me around.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Follow me around.
All right. That's enough out of you, Mike.
Yeah,
we didn't do the crappy promo here.
I'm trying. Yeah. Anyway, we have to do that segment, right? Can I do that today?
We just did.
I have nothing to promote.
Because there's somebody's not here.
Tyler Smith wants to know, Kenyon Barner or Jalen Richard this week?
Interesting one. So let's start here. Let's presume the Patriots do not add another running back, because if they do, then all of a sudden Barner's value goes decidedly differently.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go Barner.
If they in fact go into that game with two active running backs,
yep.
James White and Kenyon Barner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Disagreement there, Stefania?
Yeah. I kind of like Jalen Richard against the Colts. I mean, I like the matchup for Jalen Richard. There's no Marshawn. He's been more exciting lately. I just don't see Doug Martin threatening Jalen Richard's workload at all.
By the way, that's Monday night game, right? The Patriots game?
It is Monday night.
Yeah,
yep.
So we'll find out Saturday then, right? That's the last time they can make a transaction. So we'll find out Saturday if they do.
You can make a transaction on Monday.
Oh, right, they can. So actually, that's going to make it tricky because they could technically sign Kenneth Farrow off the practice squad.
And if the Patriots
so maybe you do
anything,
lean Richard.
They're tricky.
Yeah, that process, as you were talking, that game's Monday. So maybe you want to go Richard there and go a little safer.
See.
All right, let's keep it rolling here. A couple more.
Ty Carlson wants to know, what do you think Duke Johnson's value is moving forward with Hyde gone? I picked him up last week to fill in a bye week hole, and he burned me. He's in a 12-team PPR league.
Yeah, this is a major head-scratcher for me. And Keith, as a Browns fan, I'm sure you can agree with this. I mean, the guy was terrific. He's been terrific throughout his career. I don't know why they're not utilizing him more. So I have him on a lot of rosters. I don't know what to do either. I don't feel comfortable starting him, but I don't want to drop him because they only have two backs there, really. I mean, in Chubb and Johnson, you think at some point he has to be involved in the backfield. So I don't feel good starting him, but I'd keep him on my roster.
They keep saying it's going to happen.
He was going to start last week, and he did not start last week.
I know. I don't believe.
I don't believe Hugh Jackson is what it comes down to. Hugh Jackson, what are you doing, dude?
Why would you
not find ways to get one of your most talented running backs, one of your most talented offensive players, the football more? It's not like you gave him a $15 million extension this offseason. Oh, wait, you gave him a $15 million extension this offseason. Duke Johnson, catch 20 passes this week. Please, I'm desperate. I know it's not your fault, but Hugh Jackson, figure it out and stop throwing people under the bus publicly. It's a bad look for you, and your team still stinks.
That was like the most polite rant I've ever heard in my life.
With all due respect,
please,
Mr. Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
Seriously, though, gosh.
I'm with you, man.
You've got good, like, rather than throwing the ball to Antonio Callaway 13 times a game and watching him drop 12 of them, like, give the ball to Duke. Caramba. A couple more here, Keith.
I think that's a good one to end on, personally.
That's a mic drop type of response. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad there.
I'm a Browns apologist this year, so I feel the pain, Keith.
I feel bad myself. this one may seem easy, but I'm going to ask anyway. Josh says, Jared Cook or Evan Engram rest of season?
I think you have to go Cook here. I mean, Ingram's just not getting enough volume right now. Maybe, you know, last week he was barely used. He was on the field a lot. He just wasn't targeted. Maybe that steps up going forward. But they found Sterling Shepard's really taking a leap this year. They're utilizing him heavily behind Beckham and Barkley. There might not be enough for consistent target volume for Ingram going forward. So I think he's a back-end tight end one, but Cook is getting a lot of volume.
He sure is. Let's What do you got, Daniel?
We got one last one to close it out.
Yep.
If Matthew Berry and Eli Manning both ran the 40-yard dash, which one do you think would win?
I got to give that to Eli, right?
Because I mean, Eli just looks slow.
Here's the thing, is that when you see Eli Manning in person, it's such a different experience than when you see him in football pads. He's like a well-built, like he looks like an athletic, like an impressive guy. I'm telling you, when you see, you're like, that's not Eli Manning. He's not anywhere that put together.
Yeah, and he wears bigger shoulder pads than you think. Yeah.
So I would go with Eli Manning. I'd go with Eli Manning running backwards.
Running backwards, he would run faster than Matthew in the 40.
All due respect to Matthew, I think he's. I don't think it's close.
Whenever people say "all due respect," it means I'm about to disrespect you. So,
all due respect to Matthew.
Why are you respecting him when you're talking about him running a 40-yard dash?
Matthew's idea of physical fitness is when he forgets his sport coat at his desk and has to walk back and get it. Like,
no,
you understand.
When's the last time we saw him walk back and get something for himself?
He's sending somebody else to go back and get the coat for him.
So now there's no sprint
calories as his own.
But he did use his arm. Like you just did, though. He just said, hey, can you go back and get that? That would
right.
be the activity
yeah.
right there.
There is nothing good comes from hustling. We attribute
if
that
he listens to this one,
to
none of us
friend,
will be back ever.
Matthew Berry. Oh, he doesn't listen. He downloads. He does not listen.
Love you, Dad. Moving along. We are back on Friday. Full preview show. In the meantime, Stefania, B87 on Instagram. Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. He's Mike Clay NFL on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you to all of you who sent some great questions there. I'm hosting the fantasy show today. Me and Daniel. It's going to be Lit City.
Oh, no doubt.
Peace out. You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates. You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secrets